Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth. I will daily lift my hands. I will always sing of when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. 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 Let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth. I will daily lift my hands. I will always sing of when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. 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 Of your love forever. I can sing 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 of your love forever. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your
ear. So much to be grateful to God for. That we can genuinely sing of his love because we've experienced it. May our worship be a sweet aroma going up to him. Well, I pray everybody's had a blessed week. For those going through trials of any sorts, I pray that God will give you the strength and the healing you need physically, mentally, emotionally. Speaking of praying for people, I lift up those who've been affected by these Texas wildfires. It's been a bad situation. Seems to be a lot of bad situations going on, but we do live in a fallen world. Pray that God will give us the strength that we need in these last days. Speaking of last days, I want to talk to you today about the signs of the end from Matthew 24. But specifically today, I want to talk about the increasing lack of love that Jesus mentions in Matthew 24, 12, and 13. But before we do, let's go before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us, who strengthens us. We thank you for Jesus, your living word, who paid the ultimate price on Calvary's cross for us. We thank you for your written word that you've blessed us with. Help us to treasure it, to realize it is a gift that you've given us, to guide us, to strengthen us. Your word's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will anoint me and rightly divide your word of truth and give us all ears to hear what your word has to show us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, the foundational passage for today is Matthew 24, 12 and 13. Jesus says this when he's addressing the disciples on the Mount of Olives. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. You know, it's out of love that the Father sent his one and only Son to pay the ultimate price on the cross so that we can be reconciled to him. And it's out of love that Jesus himself paid that price. And on the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And he's now at the Father's right hand as our mediator and as our high priest. But he'll return. He'll return as the King of Kings to set up his physical earthly kingdom. But it's the signs leading up to his return that he's discussing with his disciples in this chapter. You know, isn't it fascinating? Jesus is talking about all this on the Mount of Olives. And if you read Revelation 19 and Zechariah 14, when he does return and he sets his foot on the earth, it will be on this same mountain. But he's talking about the signs and how they will be on the rise. They will be increasing in the last days. We're seeing the beginnings now of what we call birth pains. And we're not supposed to bury our head in the sand. We need to pay attention to what's going on. Be watchful. Be alert. Look at the signs that are unfolding all around us, because they are. Be well aware of the forces of darkness, of the forces of evil. Not only that are working behind the scenes, but that seem to be blatantly up front these days. You know, we're called to stand against what's wrong and stand for what's right. We're called to be bold for Christ, to be his light in a world of darkness. Look, it takes boldness to withstand the trials and the satanic attacks that come our way. It takes boldness not to compromise to the standards of this world and the God of it. But this boldness must be in love. But Jesus is talking about the signs that it will increase in the last days. Man-made and natural catastrophes. Man-made are like wars and rumors of wars. Of course, natural catastrophes are like earthquakes, etc. And as believers, Jesus warns us not to be alarmed. They will be on the rise. And I'll tell you something else that will be on the rise, too, is deception. Because the rise of false prophets, false preachers, false teachers, people professing to be anointed of God but aren't, they'll deceive many. Also, what will be on the rise is persecution of God's people because of their hatred of God, hatred of his ways, hatred of his people. So when you look at all that will increase, all that will be on the rise, you know what sums up? Evil will be on the rise. Hate will be on the rise. And people will fall away from God because of all this. They'll betray one another. They'll be offended. And you know, I hate to disappoint some, but as important as it is to vote, whoever is elected, these things are still going to increase. Evil, corruption, deception, persecution, hate. It's prophesied. It's going to get worse in our nation and in this world before things get better. But the saddest sign of all, what Jesus mentioned here in this passage we read, the love of many, not some, but many, will grow cold. Love is wide-ranging. You got the physical intimacy between a man and woman. sad when you have to emphasize that, even in the church. Then you got brotherly love that all mankind should have, especially those of us in the body of Christ. But it's lacking today. I mean, you hear it everywhere. See it on social media. I mean, just even human decency and civility is lacking. But unfortunately, it's not only in the world, but it's in the church too. And I'm going to stay here a minute because, you know, it's easy to love someone you agree with and who loves you. But when it comes to loving someone you disagree with, especially loving someone who tries to harm you in any way, well, that takes getting out of the flesh. It takes getting into the spirit. And that goes hand in hand with the next type of love that I want to talk about and spend a lot of time on. I don't go into Greek and Hebrew a lot, but this type of love in Greek is agape love. That's simply the love that God has for us and the love that we should have for Him, but we can't in ourselves, only with the help of the Holy Spirit. And it's love I don't think we can fully comprehend. It's a deep, unconditional love. We get glimpses of it outlined in 1 Corinthians 13. But you know, God's word makes it clear He is love. Do you notice that? Love isn't one of His attributes. It's not one of His characteristics. You don't say God has love. It says He is love. That's who He is. You know, when you look at it, when He sent His one and only Son to sacrifice Himself to redeem us, He did it out of love, not out of obligation. Jesus submitted to His will out of love, not out of obligation. God is love. That's why He don't wish anyone to die lost in their sins. You know, there's nothing hateful or envious or spiteful about Him. Even when God corrects us, when He rebukes us, when He punishes, when He pours out His judgment, it's not like He takes pleasure in it. It's not like He's going to have a field day with the tribulation that's coming. It's not like He's sitting up there saying, I can't wait to pour out my wrath on this thankless creation of mine. I'll show them. It's not who He is. He judges not because He wants to, but because we leave Him no choice. But God is love. And it's this type of love we have to understand, because it's a love of the Spirit. It's not of the flesh. It's not a euphoric type love. In other words, it's not motivated by feelings or emotions. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 again. It doesn't boast. It doesn't envy. Don't keep record of wrongs. If it's controlled by emotions, it definitely does all these things. But this type of love we need to have, first and foremost for God Himself, then for one another. With every fiber of our being, we should love God. And you know how we love Him? Jesus shows us in John 14, by submitting to His ways, walking in obedience to His commands, doing, with the help of the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way we can, what pleases Him. Living the way He wants us to, the way He desires us to live. Because He knows what's best for us. But that's how we love God. When we love God, then we have a genuine love for one another. Like we should. Look at the Ten Commandments, for instance. It talks about worshiping no other gods before Him. Remembering the Sabbath, keeping it holy. Honoring your father and mother, not committing adultery, not committing murder, not coveting, all these commandments. You know what sums them all up? Loving God and loving one another. That's how we manifest love for God, manifest love one for another, by walking in obedience to His commandments. If there's envy, if there's boastfulness, if there's hate, if there's division amongst us, then we're no different from the world. See, Jesus says, men will know you follow me when you exercise love one for another. Jesus is talking to his disciples like he's talking to us about what lies ahead, what's on the rise, what's going to increase in these last days. And among many things that will increase is a love of many will grow cold. What type of love is he talking about? Not the physical intimate love. Not the brotherly love per se, but the agape love that I've been telling you about. And I heard one of the commentaries say this when I was preparing for the sermon. We can have all the other forms of love without having the agape love, which I disagree with. If we don't have the love that God has poured out in our hearts, if we don't manifest it in our lives, then we can't have genuine love one for another. You know, a world, a nation, a society that has no regard for God or his ways, that have drifted from him, they don't have the love of God. And in my opinion, they not only lose their sanity, their humanity. You look at Germany in the 30s and 40s and what they descended into because they drifted away from God and they followed a godless man like Hitler. They let Satan take complete control. And you know, even as believers, we can allow that to happen too. We drift into sin, it'll take us deeper and deeper into places we never intended on going. And we drift from the love of God that he had placed in us. We allow it to grow cold. So many things will increase in the last days because the love of many will grow cold. That's why people are going to follow the Antichrist. No regard for God or his ways. Look at our society. There is no regard for law and order. There's no regard for the sanctity of marriage. And even though Roe v. Wade has been turned, in many portions of our nation and our society, there's still no regard for the sanctity of life. But folks, as the church, I can't stress this enough, we need to be warriors of truth and righteousness in these last days. But if it's not done in love, it's of no value. You remember what Jesus said to the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation? He commended them for standing against the heresies of their day. But he said, I have this against you. You have lost your first love. You know, if we allow the disease of self-righteousness to plague the body of Christ, we've allowed our love to grow cold. If we allow ourselves to set aside the standards of God's word and his righteousness, we've allowed love to grow cold. If we give in to hatred and division, because it's so easy to do, we're allowing our love to grow cold. So let me leave you with this. Be on guard. When we start to sense our love for God and for one another growing cold, repent and turn back. Because Jesus warns us, if we don't, he's going to remove that light from us. We don't want that. You know, God's word shows us what love is and how to walk in it. But unfortunately, we live in a world, and the God of this world himself is the one who comes to try to steal, kill, and destroy this love that God's placed in us. But we don't have to be defeated by it. I felt led of God to share this word. We always need to be reminded of it, but in this heated election year, we need to be reminded of who we are in Christ and not lose our heads and get sucked into the hate and the division that's out there. I know this was a sobering message, but folks, there are times we need it to wake us up, to warn us to be alert, because we have an enemy out there prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And who does he devour? Already has the world. The one he tries to devour is us. And unfortunately, more often than not, he succeeds. But he don't have to. Well, I pray everybody has a blessed week. And if you hadn't subscribed to this podcast on Spotify, I'd appreciate it if you do so. But let's yield to the Holy Spirit. Let Him help us not to give in to all that allows our love to grow cold. Amen. Hey, before next week, whenever you get a chance, if you don't mind, read Matthew 24:37-44. Because that's what we'll be talking about next time. God willing.